Art Supply Posse. This episode is different from our normal ones. I'm sharing some of my experiences visiting the Art Institute of Chicago. I was there for about 4.5 hours and experienced so many different emotions as I wandered through what is to me a beautiful piece of architecture, perfect to house so many outstanding pieces of art. And at the end of this episode, I've got a little favour to ask of you. There were several paintings and a couple of photographs that really moved me. I want to share that experience with you. I think art is one of the most important things that humans make. I think it's easy to take art for granted, to forget what art can do, unless you get the chance to see it up close and personal. One painting that both mesmerised and surprised me was A Sunday on La Grande Jatte, 1884, by Georges Seurat. The painting is one I have seen in books, I've read about it in articles, and I have seen it in a couple of art documentaries. In all of those instances, I confess, I was underwhelmed by it. The subject matter didn't interest me. People from a variety of social classes enjoying a day in a Paris park. Big deal. That's kind of how I felt. The use of pointillism as the method of painting was really the only thing that actually did interest me. Until I found myself standing face to face with the painting. As I stood there, it felt like puzzle pieces were forming in my mind, making the painting suddenly make sense to me. The sheer size of it struck me first. It's 207.5 by 308.1 centimetres. Yes, I did actually check that. And then, of course, the actual pointillism brushstrokes are really what captured me. I found myself standing close to the painting, observing those brushstrokes, and then stepping back, taking in the entire painting. And then, I move back in for another look again. I really find it hard to get the right words to kind of explain how I felt looking at that painting. But I did find the subject matter somehow making sense. It was like this was the perfect scene for this technique, for this colour palette, to create this painting. The light and shadows, the people that were relaxing, children who were playing, boats on the water. It just felt right. I know that none of what I've just said doesn't do the painting the justice it really deserves. But I am grateful that I actually had the opportunity to see it as it was designed to be seen, hanging on a wall. Its size and its beauty and its technique, all there to be admired and enjoyed for what it is. So yes, now I can say that I really appreciate and really admire and actually really like this particular painting.
I've heard many people say that they don't understand abstract art, they don't see the point to it, and that their children could do a better job at painting. Personally, I beg to differ. But this podcast is not about debating the standard of art or the lack thereof, but rather, as you, constant listener, will know, this podcast is a place to cherish art in all of its forms. You will most likely know by now that I love abstract art. So I was delighted to see in person abstracts that I had previously only seen in books. Two pieces in particular by Piet Mondrian stole my heart. They were Composition No. 1, Grey-Red, and Lozenge Composition with Yellow-Black, Blue-Red and Grey. The use of bold primary colours and strong lines did something to me that, again, is difficult to explain. I had, as I said, seen these works in books, probably again in documentaries. But seeing them in person, up close, Well, it's really hard to explain just what they did. Not for the first time during my excursion to the museum did I find myself wishing that I could talk to the artist. I wanted to ask Mondrian about his choice of colour and about its placement, but also ask, did he know something that appears to be so compositionally simple would resonate with so many? Looking at these two canvases caused me to think about my own experiments with abstract art, and this is something else that I think is important about art galleries and art museums. They allow the observation of art that, if you're at all artistically inclined, allows you to form ideas and thoughts that you may not have had. I wondered how I could utilise some of the skills that I was seeing. How could I express more emotion while using less? Because to me, Mondrian's artworks do this. He used light and dark and primary colours and somehow conveyed deep emotion with so little. I don't pretend to understand how he did it. Actually, I don't understand how many artists evoke powerful emotions within a viewer, within myself for that matter. But really, I don't think that it matters. What matters the most is that these paintings exist. Something that is particularly important about art museums is the opportunity to encounter work by artists that you perhaps may never have heard of. One such artist, for me, was Erika Giovanna Klein. Her painting, Rhythm of Bird Flight, manages to capture on canvas, well, exactly what it is titled, the movement of a flying bird. Through the use of ochres, reds, and shades of white and grey, as well as lines that repeat and also curve, Erika has turned a 3D flight pattern into a 2D form, yet still retained its beauty. Have you ever observed a bird flying and thought, gee, that's beautiful. Isn't it so majestic? And how exactly do they do it? That majesty and that magic has been transformed onto Erika's canvas. I wish I could ask her, what bird did she see? What initially caught her eye? What called out to her, asking her to paint what she was seeing? The painting itself reminded me of a multiple exposure photo, as throughout the flight pattern, the bird moves across the canvas. That is, I think, what caused me to pause and linger in front of the painting and to imagine this particular bird flying off the canvas. I was lucky enough to visit the Art Institute during its showing of an exhibit called Picasso, Drawing from Life. The exhibit centres around people who were part of Picasso's life, such as lovers, friends, and family members. The artwork is displayed in a chronological order, which I absolutely loved. I find it fascinating to observe his work in this way, although I must say I really appreciate enjoying other artists' work when it's displayed chronologically. As I'm sure you know, Picasso's style changed throughout his life. So with it displayed chronologically, it really gave me the chance to take it all in. It felt like I was observing his life on a wall as such. Something that struck me is that it's okay to change your style or to explore different mediums. You need to do what your heart wants to do. It worked for Picasso, and of course many other artists for that matter, so why not do it yourself? So many people feel like they shouldn't explore other mediums, that they should just become the best they can in one. And I've got to say, if that's not what you want to do, then don't. Don't be constrained by any one media. Don't be constrained by any one thing that someone tells you you should or shouldn't do. It can't hurt to explore other things and to see where it takes you. A lot of the pieces in the exhibit are drawings on paper. There is so much detail in them, and for me, they show that there is as much importance to a drawing as there is to a painting. I was fascinated by Picasso's lino cuts as well, which I was really only vaguely aware of prior to seeing them. I had a rough idea that he'd made liner cuts. I'd seen them somewhere along the lines, but to actually see them in real life and hanging there on the wall, I found myself quite fascinated by them and just admiring them. Whilst it could be argued that they aren't as detailed as his drawings or his paintings, because of course that's the medium, that's the nature of liner cut, I think there's an incredible amount of detail there still with what's not actually on the page, what's been taken away. So I was really delighted to have that opportunity. As I was walking through the gallery, I was surprised to come across what looked like an artfully arranged pile of candies. Okay, hang on. A little bit of realism here. I use the word candy in that sentence because I was thinking about both our American listeners and the description of the sculpture, which actually uses the term candies. But I'm not American. So when I walked around the corner, what I saw was a pile of lollies, not candies. However, I will use the word candies because that's what was used in the description and I need to be true to that. So I stood there and I wondered, what exactly was I seeing? Why was there a pile of candies? See, I just went to use the word lollies because it's ingrained in me. Why was there a pile of candies in an art gallery? Wrapped in brightly coloured paper, shiny paper, so I guess it was metallic. They were beautiful to look at, but what exactly were they doing there? As I walked over to the artwork's description, I overheard a conversation that was being had by a gallery tour guide and the people that were with them. They answered the question that I had. Yes, by all means, take one to eat. And so of course I did, even though that person wasn't talking to me. And I kept the wrapper as a reminder of the experience. The artwork is by Felix Gonzalez Torres, which I'm sure I've butchered that pronunciation, so I am very sorry. An American artist who was born in Cuba. Known as Untitled Portrait of Ross in LA, it was created in 1991. It's described as candies in variously coloured wrappers, endless supply. Ideal weight, 175 pounds. Now, I don't think in pounds, so I can't even really tell you what that is in kilos without doing a search, which I'm not going to do. Because really, it's not the point. But it does say that 175 pounds is apparently the ideal weight of a man. Possibly that's changed in the interim from 1991, but that's what it refers to. Every time a candy is taken, the piece changes its scale, and I really like that idea. There's something to be said for people interacting with it, who, by taking something away, change what the artist initially created and what the artist saw in their mind. It links the artist and the public, in this case long after the death of the artist. Gonzalez Torres died of complications from AIDS in 1996, as did their partner, Ross Laycock, in 1991. It is said that the weight of 175 pounds refers to Ross's ideal weight. I think there is poignancy here. These two people who will always be linked by this endless supply of candies, their love remembered by all who view the artwork and take a piece away from it. I didn't plan how I would walk through the Art Institute. I arrived, I grabbed a map and headed on down to the basement floor. There is a photography section and there was a display of photos by South African artist David Goldblatt, called No Ulterior Motive. The exhibition showcased photographs made throughout Goldblatt's 70-year career, centering around documenting his country and its people. The photographs show the inequality of apartheid and life as it was for the people at the time. The 140 photos that were on display began with black and whites, of people, of streets, of architecture. My favourites were the documentary portraits, capturing a moment in time that without Goldblatt and his camera would likely not have been remembered. One particular standout is called Sunday Morning, a not white family living illegally in the white group area of Hillbrow, Johannesburg, 1978. It shows a family in bed, the face of one adult covered entirely by the newspaper that they are reading, and the face of another adult partly hidden by their newspaper. There is a young child seated in between them, also reading a newspaper, and a baby in a wicker crib alongside the covered-up adult, whose arm we see reaching into the crib, and who I assume is its mother. There are so many layers here in this one photograph, a representation of a life, of a Sunday morning for this family. The newspaper pages, the blankets and pillows, a side table that was partly in view with a radio perched on it. The moment exudes love and family. Over the years, Goldblatt's descriptions of his photographs grew longer, reading like mini essays. His words, along with his photos, provided a sense of what was happening in his community, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to view them. He also moved into using colour film after apartheid, although he did also continue using black and white. Another exhibition that was running at the time, actually it finishes on the 3rd of June this year, so if you're interested and in the area, definitely go and check it out. But it's called Radical Clay, Contemporary Women Artists from Japan. The exhibit showcases 40 ceramic pieces formed in ways that I had just never seen before, such as clay sculpture formed into the shape of a skirt, or intricately detailed sculptures that appear to have been pulled from the sea. The large size of most of them is also something that struck me, and also the colours that were rendered upon them. I left that section wanting to rush out and buy lots of clay to see what could come from playing with it. These pieces were all by contemporary Japanese women artists from around about the 1970s, I think, up until now. And it was really good to see not only women artists exhibit in such a way, but contemporary women artists. It's nice to admire the masters in any field, in any subject, of course, but it is also lovely to see what art is being produced now and perhaps where it's heading in the future. Sky Above the Clouds 4, painted by George O'Keefe in 1965, also stopped me in my tracks. A huge piece. It's 243.8 centimetres high by 731.5 centimetres wide. Yes, I looked that up. Of course I did. Begged me to stop and admire it. It's part of a series based around clouds that she admired while she was flying, and this painting is at first glance executed simply, but I found myself, the more I stood there taking it in, the more that I was able to see. There are white shapes that represent clouds. They fade into a distant blue and peach horizon, and they just made me feel like I could stand there for hours. I have been an admirer of George's work for some time, and it was another case of being really grateful that I had the opportunity to see this painting. I don't know that I'd actually seen it in any kind of book or documentary or anything like that, but I did know about her, of course. And so to have that chance to see her work in person, particularly this piece, it moved me. And I know I've repeated myself a few times saying these things, but it was a moment of awe and a moment of gratitude, and it stayed with me and it will stay with me. I think that's probably one of the biggest things about an art gallery like this in particular, is it gives you that opportunity to see so many different pieces of artwork, so many different styles. And, you know, if you are a lover of art, then it may also give you plenty of things to tick off that box of I want to see one day in real life. There are a number of unexpected surprises I stumbled upon as I wandered around the building. Located on the Woman's Board Grand Staircase is a sculpture called Hero Construction. Created in 1958 by Chicago artist Richard Hunt, the piece is constructed with lots of found metal objects, showing that art can be made from just about anything. I was taken by surprise when I came across it because I wasn't really following any pre-plan or any kind of tour, so I really wasn't expecting to see it there. There was something about the way it's constructed and the use of the found objects that made me laugh, made me smile. Some of those things are part of what made up the whole experience just so much more fun. Whilst we're on the subject, the Woman's Board Grand Staircase is actually worth noting. I think it's a work of art in itself. It has a presence about it, providing, of course, a gateway between gallery floors, but also showing a subtle beauty in its repetitive lines on the riser of each stair and the timber handrails, as well as the simple yet beautiful balusters. I'll end this conversation by touching on an exhibition called By the Light of the Moon, Nighttime in Japanese Prints. This display is a selection of Japanese prints showcasing gorgeous landscapes and scenes. It stuns me to see just how much can be conveyed in printmaking, particularly through the use of a variety of shades of blue, along with blacks and highlight colours that were used to create the moon or represent lighting. Printmaking isn't something I particularly think a lot about, generally speaking, when I think about art. And yet this exhibition showed me that there is a lot more to it. And perhaps it's something that I need to look into further. Not as something to add into my practice, but simply to admire more often. And, you know, just become a little bit more aware of. As you may be able to gather from listening, I felt myself constantly moved by my time at the Art Institute of Chicago. It left me wanting to make more art, but it also reminded me that anything can be used to make art. I haven't shared all my thoughts here. It would probably take me hours to record them all. But I do hope that you are inspired, perhaps to visit a gallery yourself or an exhibition, or maybe just seek out an art book from the library or the bookstore. On that note, I would love to hear from you. Do you have a painting or a sculpture or a photograph or some other kind of artwork that you've seen in a gallery that is your absolute favourite? You know the one I mean, the one that you've seen on television, in a documentary, read about in a book, heard about on a podcast, and you thought to yourself, I really want to see that in real life. And then you had the opportunity to actually see it. Well, we want to hear about it. We want to know what it was like for you to see that piece of artwork in real life. Did it move you? Did it make you want to go out and make your own art? Or did it disappoint you? Because yes, sometimes that does happen.
We would like to gather your stories together into an episode similar to this one, but of course hearing from you. If you're happy to share your experience, record a voice memo and email it to me, kim@artsupplyposse.com.
Would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via kim@artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.